Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and we made it, Chris. We made it. It's the regular season. This is the first 3 Yards Per Carry where we are in regular season mode. We're talking Jaguars, Dolphins, Sunday, 1 p.m. But first, this show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Check out this promotion. You make a $5 play, and come on, let's face it, it's the regular season. You're going to be making some plays, right? Make a $5 play, they give you $50. That's it. That's the promotion.
That's it.
Yeah, you can't beat that, okay? It's a free $50. If somebody on the street told you, make a $5 bet and I'll give you $50, would you do it? If you say no, then you're not very good at math. Okay, it's a great promotion. Just take it. If you want to take it, and you should, you go to Prize Picks, use the promo code 3 yards. That's the number 3 yards. And you make that $5 play and you get $50. It's as simple as that.
You get your $50 and then you immediately go over to discord.gg/onlyfans.
Yes.
And you sign up.
Yeah, for $3 a month. You can't complain. Okay. And by the way, tell the people, if for the people that may be thinking, oh my God, they transferred Twitter over to Discord. No. Tell them about a certain room it's Shangri-La.
You know, we have our own private Idaho here, except without the neo-Nazis. I think that what we did this year is kind of a lot based on a lot of feedback about how, you know, during the games, a lot of people, and this is their right to do this, but you know, people get very reactive to things, an incomplete pass, a sack, something like that. You know, oh God, here we go again. The Dolphins suck. This is where we blow it. This is, you know, you've been on Twitter, you know what that's like. We've always kind of prided ourselves on the server being not like that. And it is better than Twitter that way. We have a good group of fans. They're kind of very, you know, people that are willing to sign up, Alf, you know, with us on a server, I think are maybe a little bit different than some normal fans, because a lot of the fans that you see on Twitter could not possibly stomach the idea of giving us, you know, $3 a month to be on our Discord server, because they mostly hate us. And so, you know, we do pride ourselves in having a good community, but at the same time, you know, some people want a little bit of a different flavor. So we decided to go a complete other direction and just say, hey, we're going to have a game day good vibes chat room, only active on game days, only there on the day of the game. And it's just all about good vibes. We almost make a game out of it. You know, it might be a little bit cartoony and maybe it's not for everybody. It's not meant to be for everybody, but it's meant to be kind of, you know, just go in there, be an old school fan who just like cheers and stuff. And, you know, like says F yeah, when we do something great and, you know, and then the season isn't always going to end every time there's an incomplete pass. Right. And that's, I think a lot of people have really enjoyed it. I thought what was cool about when we experimented with it in the preseason, is afterwards, after the first time, you know, I kind of just polled the group. We got like 1,000 people in there. And I was just like, hey, you know, did this work for you or did this not work for you? And I think it was like 300-2 said that this worked for us. And then 2 people, I think, probably just cynically, jokingly said no.
Yeah. You're kind of describing kind of a cult. So
yeah, basically.
We have like the cult of 3YPC.
We do. Discord. We have basically a side room cult. If you want to experience that, you know.
Yeah, and of course you have our 3YPC channel. If you want to hear Simon, Chris, and I going back and forth, we have our patron chat. We have many channels in there. Okay,
we
also have a vetted room that you only find out about once you get there.
And the vetted room is, you know, you only find out like a month in advance what's going on with players before everybody else does, you know, in terms of, well, various things. I won't reveal much more than that. But yeah.
All right. And of course, it's the season. So you need some gear. Go to our store. Buy everything. All right. I promise you, you'll love our designs. The quality is top notch. And we're not trying to get rich off of you. We sell $19.99 shirts. We actually have some $17.99 shirts. Insane, right? That we could turn a profit like that, Chris?
Yeah, you're definitely like preaching to a non-believer here. So, you know, it's been pretty crazy the amount of merch that we've actually been able to sell, and it's very encouraging.
Yeah. So go to onlyfans.printify.me/products. And check out what we have. I always put it on every single one of our promos. I put the link. You can click on it. Check out everything we have in our store. All right, let's talk.
And at this point, do not buy the decaf coffee that has me on it, because now absolutely nobody has bought it. And now I'm just saying, F y'all. Don't buy
nobody
it.
Nobody has bought it, by the way.
Never buy it.
I actually drink decaf, and that's because you know, my doctor said, you know what, as much coffee as you drink, your heart's gonna explode at some point. And somebody told me that your heart exploding is probably a bad thing.
Yeah, not in a good way.
Right. So I substituted my 4 cups a day to 3 cups of decaf a day with my one, you know, caffeinated bomb in the morning. And it works for me. But I haven't bought it. I haven't bought it just to keep up the aesthetic of keeping that zero right next to that decaf in our inventory. You know
yep.
what I mean? That has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jaguars, Dolphins. This Jags team, they're not a bad team. They're a good team. They're in a division that you got to say might be an uphill battle for them, because the Houston Texans are everybody's darling. And the Colts are not a bad team. And Tennessee's much improved. And we're playing the Tennessee Titans in a few weeks. And if you think that we're just going to run roughshod over that team, take a look at their depth chart on defense and then tell me what you think. That's a much improved team. So it's a tough division. The Jaguars are in tough, but they're not without talent. We're going to start this off by talking about this game when the Dolphins have the ball. Ryan Nielsen, new defensive coordinator. All we know about him is that he was in Atlanta last year. We know he runs single high more than anybody else in the league. He sends a lot of blitzes, sends 5, sends 6, tends to keep his guys static, which means you can expect Josh Allen lined up over Teron Armstead. Just saying, you could expect Trevon Walker lined up over Austin Jackson. You could expect Trevon Walker in the A gaps at times. You can expect Josh Allen not to move too much from right defensive end. Eric Armstead's on this team now.
Mm.
just looking at the team, it's kind of obvious where you're going to attack. Dolphins might legitimately throw this thing 45 times in this game. Their secondary, besides Darnell Savage, who I think is a decent player as a nickel, man, they're bereft of talent in the secondary, at least in my opinion. Dolphins should be attacking there, no?
One would think, but it really depends on how Jacksonville decides. So first off, looking at Nielsen's defense in Atlanta last year, you're right. There's a lot of single high, but there's also a lot of aggressive, kind of tight, physical, painted on coverage. And this is what you want to do with Miami is you want to disrupt as much as you can. And so they're going to want to disrupt Miami's receivers. They're going to want to get hands on them at basically at all levels. I do wonder about how Miami is going to play against that. And if Jacksonville is really kind of obsessed with Miami's passing attack, and who wouldn't be? Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, with Tua Tagovailoa throwing the ball, then you might see a little bit more conservatism, at which point, I think that Mike McDaniel would absolutely love to make a statement about Miami's ground game this year. I think that he would love to do that. I think last year game one was a little bit different because that was a Chargers defense that had previous in the previous year had kind of embarrassed them a little bit in the passing game. And so Miami unveiled a lot of rule breakers and the cheap motion and things like that, and really just threw the ball all over the yard against the Chargers instead of making a statement about the ground game. I think that Miami would love to make this statement about the ground game this year in week one and put some things on film that have other defensive coordinators thinking a little bit. But it really depends on how the Jags actually attack it and how they face them. So you're right. If there's a lot of single high, if there's a lot of stacked boxes and there's a lot of blitzes and things like that, then yeah, Miami may throw it all over the yard, because I don't think there are many offenses in the league last year who were better against the blitz than Miami. And not many quarterbacks who are better against the blitz than Tua Tagovailoa. But if they do play it a little bit more conservatively, then that's where I think that you could start to see, Mike McDaniel start to try and lay on some film and say, hey, we have a ground game, which you know about last year because of the explosive plays. But what you might not know is that, we also have a versatile ground game that we can run it on you in a bunch of different ways. And so there could be that opportunity to try and establish that, depending on how much respect Jacksonville gives Miami's passing game.
All right. Now, looking at Atlanta last year, they played a lot of odd fronts, and which would make kind of some sense after you sign Arik Armstead, you're just going to play him as a three tech and rush him up the field. But what I'm more interested in talking about here as we do this portion of the game, Josh Allen, just looking at it, if he's really going to be, if they're going to stick to what they did in Atlanta last year, and let's say that they're just going to line him up over Teron Armstead, you're tempted to just say, look, have Teron Armstead completely, handle him by himself. And, we'll use our run actions, our misdirection to try to have him play essentially in a circle, running in a circle, retracing where he came from and essentially nullifying his pass rush. There's a really good video, and I keep talking about this, of Kyle Shanahan talking about how they handled TJ Watt against the Steelers, where TJ Watt was essentially wrecking the game in the first half. The 49ers were devoting all kinds of assets to blocking him. And in the second half, they decided to leave him completely unblocked and using his speed up the field against him. How do you think Miami should be handling Josh Allen on Sunday?
Well, I think it's fair. The reason that I'm a little bit reluctant about the unblock thing is because I certainly don't want a lot of situations where Tua Tagovailoa is coming off the play action, coming off the play pass, and booting out to an unblocked, you know, Josh Allen, and sort of relying on the idea that Josh Allen would you know, chase the play and take himself out against Tua. I don't know that he's going to do that. I know that Tua has improved every single year in this aspect of the classic, you know, Shanahan offense style, you know, boot actions. The quarterback really does at some point have to just handle that pressure and make a play. And he's getting better and better at that, but I get pretty tentative about it. So I don't know if I'd leave him unblocked as much as might be suggested. But at the same time, it's all about Miami's quick passing game. You know, it's all about Miami getting the ball out in, you know, 2.3 seconds on average, to, you know, 2.4 maybe. A lot of times it's just two seconds period. And if they've got a strong pass rush and you're a little worried about it, then that's the answer. And that's Miami's bread and butter. So I don't know.
Yeah. And it's also interesting to note for those that are trying to like picture the game, you know, in their heads and what they might see. Remember that Josh Allen, if he's the right defensive end, if they're going to keep him static the entire game, that means that that's to his left side. It's his best side to roll out to, which makes a lot of sense that you would actually probably cover him. Like, you'd make that the strong side and have the tight end on that side.
Yep.
Have Julian Hill, have Durham Smythe, maybe Jonnu Smith. Now let's get into that to close out this part of this portion of the preview. Let's talk the Dolphins offense and what they're going to employ. We talked about the Jaguars defense going against the Dolphins offense. Who do you think? Because right now we really don't know. I guess it's Braxton Berrios, but you got to figure they're going to play four wide receivers. There's no way they're going to play three wide receivers the entire game. They're going to play at least four. Who is that fourth? Because I'm guessing Grant DuBose is going to play 25 snaps on Sunday.
I don't think Grant DuBose is going to play on offense. I think they're – so first off, I think that with OBJ on PUP, you know, like let's not overthink this. This is going to be a 12 personnel and a 21 personnel offense on Sunday, and so they're gonna use, you know, Jonnu Smith as a second tight end a lot. They're also going to use Julian Hill as a second tight end a lot, because Julian Hill as a second tight end, when they get those two tight end formations in there with Durham Smythe and Julian Hill, they run the ball and they run it well. And so they're going to use a lot of 12 personnel, I think, which leaves the two wide receivers, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, doing work that, you know, they can do. So I think they're going to use a lot of that. I think they're going to use a lot of Alec Ingold as a fullback and use a lot of 21 personnel. Where I think that you might actually start to see a little bit of variation from that is dual halfback, you know, dual halfback approaches with Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane both being out there, and see what the Jags do personnel wise in response to that package, and then kind of go from there and see if you can uncover something. And so I think that's more what it'll be about. The third wide receiver in this game is probably going to be Braxton Berrios. The fourth wide receiver is going to be Malik Washington. So the four wide receivers that are going to play and actually get snaps during the game, I think, are just going to be, you know, there's no mystery about this to me. I think it's just going to be Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Braxton Berrios, and Malik Washington. However, I would actually also be surprised if Malik Washington and Braxton Berrios get a lot of snaps. period. And if they do, it's going to be because they got behind, because the defense is failing against Jacksonville's offense. And so they really do have to end up spacing things out and throwing it all over the yard. But otherwise, you know, I think that'll be the approach.
Yeah, I was thinking, because, you know, you're likely not going to play Waddle and Hill together a lot in 21 personnel, although you might. Last year, you did see some of Robbie Chosen in 21 personnel when Waddle was out. I was thinking maybe Grant Dubose will get some run as a blocker because he's so game ready. He played so much in the preseason, you know, and he's healthy, which is a hard thing to come by on this offense.
I think to keep in mind, Alf, though, that they've been training Malik Washington at basically all the positions. And when we talked to Braxton Berrios after the joint practice, you know, he noted that this year more than ever, it's emphasis on being able to play all the positions. The positions, by the way, in their playbook, they're going to call them X, Z, and F. And F is where people get really confused, because that depth chart, you know, F is a formation adjuster. It's Alec Ingold as a fullback, or it's Jonnu Smith as a tight end in 12 personnel, or in 11 personnel with three wide receivers out there. The F is usually going to be Braxton Berrios or in this case Malik Washington. But those guys have been cross trained at all the wide receiver positions. And so I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of 21 personnel or 12 personnel, you have those guys, one of those guys out there on the perimeter, because Malik Washington is a hell of a blocker, and they will use him as such. He's a dog. He's a fighter. He's very physical. It's one of the things that, you know, you can get out of him right away.
All right. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what happens when Trevor Lawrence has the ball, when the Dolphins are on defense. But first, these words. Let me tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sport. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks, because it's gone when September ends. Football is on the way, so do as I do and make Monday and Thursday night football more interesting. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code 3YARDS. That's the number 3YARDS, and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's the code 3YARDS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever, and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so premier kitchen, bath, and laundry cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or, do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 5-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
All right, and we're back. All right, on defense, it's looking like, and I've said this on Twitter, I said this on OnlyFans as well, Jalen Ramsey doesn't seem like he's probably going to play on, which is a shame for him because I'm pretty sure he would like to play against his former team. Doesn't look like he's going to play on Sunday. And it's just looking at history, okay? Friday is a walkthrough day. Thursday is the last true practice, which is why you saw today where all of these old vets, Anthony Walker, Calais Campbell, Jordan Poyer, they all participated today. By the way, Anthony Walker back in practice. A good sight, right?
Like that's crazy.
That's nice to see. And he should get some run against this team because we're going to talk a little bit about what the Jaguars like to do. And for this, I could look back to last year and actually discern kind of like what they like to do. Jalen Ramsey's not going to play, more likely than not, because this team, since Mike McDaniel has been here, has had a no-practice, no-play policy. And usually Thursday is the last day of true practices. And I can't find a guy that's not on vet rest, meaning Teron Armstead or Raheem Mostert, a time where a guy did not practice on Thursday and they played on Sunday. So if we're just going by that, maybe they've changed things. But going by that, you got to guess that Jalen Ramsey is probably not going to play. How do they make up for his absence with Jalen Ramsey not playing, which you got to think is not going to make him as, not multiple, but not as versatile in the secondary or with their coverages if they don't have Jalen Ramsey. How do they begin to replace him on Sunday?
Well, the guy replacing him and that will probably be an every down player is Ethan Bonner. And there's a reason that I've been eyeballing him really all through camp, all through preseason, because I think that there's a lot of potential there, but also a lot of responsibility there. And I think I do see him as being ahead of Cam Smith, even when Cam Smith is healthy. And I think that that he has the opportunity to go out there and put out some good tape. But literally every time the man has gone out on the field for the Miami Dolphins since they drafted him, they didn't draft him, they signed him undrafted. He has put out good tape. He has put out good tape every time. That includes the regular season last year. That includes the playoffs last year. as a rookie. He got vote of confidence from one of the most legendary defensive, you know, say what you want about Vic Fangio. He is a legendary defensive coordinator in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And he gave, and also kind of somewhat notorious for not really loving rookies. And he gave that vote of confidence to Ethan Bonner, had him suiting up, had him playing in the playoff game. And he did it ahead of Cam Smith. So I think that that's a lot of, and by the way, the players keep bringing up his name, you know, over and over again, unbidden, unprompted. They keep bringing up Ethan Bonner's name. When you have, you know, some of the fastest men in the NFL, Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, identifying Ethan Bonner as being as fast as them, you know, or close to as fast as them, as being, you know, really speedy. And then you also look at Ethan Bonner, you see he's got a 6'1" frame. He's got a nice wingspan. He's built well. He's got physicality to him. That's high potential. That's real, real high. It's stunningly high potential, actually. So, you know, that all eyes will be on him. He's going to be probably 100% snaps guy. And I think that it's going to affect this the way that Anthony Weaver calls the game, certainly, because at the end of the day, yes, you do have to worry about they've got a receiver unit that will include, you know, Brian Thomas Jr., who looks good. We've watched his preseason tape. We know that he can move out there. We know he's tall and fast, and he can secure the ball.
Dolphin nemesis Gabe Davis is on this team.
Dolphin nemesis Gabe Davis and the physicality that he can have, you know, down the field is going to be a test. And then the real big tests, Christian Kirk on the inside, potentially against Kader Kohu, and then Evan Engram. I think that those four pass catchers, this is the big challenge. You know, there is Travis Etienne who, you know, is fast and can catch the ball out of the backfield too. So, I think that the real thing to worry about if you're Anthony Weaver is like, oh crap, now I don't have Jalen Ramsey. You know, I'm going running with Kader Coe, who had a down year last year, and Ethan Bonner, who's Ethan Bonner as far as almost everybody is concerned.
Yeah.
You know, I'm real worried about that. So am I going to call the game tight? Am I going to call a tight game and not blitz as much, you know, not do some things that I could otherwise do because I don't know about that back end. You know, that's if they do that, then I worry a little bit more. If they trust the secondary, even without Jalen Ramsey, I do like Miami's chances here because, you know, Trevor Lawrence has still not proven that he can beat the blitz consistently. He was one of the worst quarterbacks in football last year against the blitz. So I think that a lot will be riding on that. And that's going to be, and I think sort of the way the middle path here is Anthony Weaver's probably going to feel his way out as the game goes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to see, cause you know, early in the game, you're going to see Ethan Bonner targeted, right? Who's yeah. Ethan Bonner?
Absolutely.
You're going to see Kader Kohu targeted with a speedy guy like Christian Kirk. Right. So you're going to see that. And I think that Anthony Weaver is going to kind of play it a little bit more conservatively at first, just to see what those guys are giving him. And as they play, so grows his confidence level, Anthony Weaver's confidence level. Then he could start to really go after Trevor Lawrence. And if he does, you know, do that, then there is a chance that Trevor Lawrence falls apart.
Yeah. And one thing I can say, and he strikes me as this kind of guy, especially since he's not a first-year DC because he was a DC in Houston, but he's essentially a first-year DC. This is the first time where he's signing a contract to be the defensive coordinator. Last time, he was the interim defensive coordinator. Man, it strikes
and
me.
And under Romeo Crennel, right?
Yes.
And Romeo Crennel was the interim head coach, and you know Romeo's still going to have quite a bit to say about the defense.
Yeah. My thinking on this is, you know, this is, he's basically going to form his own ideology, okay? Mm-hmm. For lack of a better word. I'm thinking, I've seen, at least what I've seen in their installs and in their practices, he has this pressure five look, this pressure five defense, which is all the rage really in the NFL. And it's going to be the new wave with what McDonald's is going to do in Seattle and what he did with the Ravens. But unlike Vic Fangio, who's always going to show five or simulate five, I think he's going to have an itchy trigger finger as a rookie DC. And he might be sending five consistently after Trevor Lawrence. Am I wrong to think that?
I think the monkey wrench and all that, go back to Jalen Ramsey if he doesn't play.
Right.
If you go back to Jalen Ramsey, he doesn't play. And what's the strength of this? Like, listen, Jacksonville, were they a running team? Did they run the ball last year? No. They didn't run the ball for shit. Excuse my language. As much as I do like Tank Bigsby and Travis Etienne, you know, I think that they're rushing, kind of over expected. Their production that way was, you know, we're talking like next gen type stats, was pretty awful. Unless I'm completely mistaken, but I don't think I am. So, you know, you're looking at Jacksonville and what's the fear? The fear is they put together a new pass catcher unit that features Brian Thomas Jr. and Gabe Davis, in addition to what they already have, Christian Kirk and Evan Engram. That's the, you know, with Trevor Lawrence, who we know can uncork the ball, right? Yeah. So that's the fear, right? This is what you fear. And now you're going to do this without Jalen Ramsey. I think that's going to be the fear if you're Anthony Weaver. And if that is the fear, then I think that you are not going to go after Trevor Lawrence as much, at least initially. But I do think that there could be moments in the game where, you know, as we get along, it's like, hey, we're not getting the pressure here that we need to. And then, you know, there's a little bit of candy dish aspect, which is what you're alluding to with Anthony Weaver. And I think that could be the case. But if that is the case, then I think it'll be have to, like, those newcomers in the secondary or the guys that are a little less trustworthy in the secondary are going to have to show some things. They're going to have to show that they can handle themselves. Ethan Bonner, and there's going to be a play early in the game where Ethan Bonner is going to get challenged deep down the field. You know, it's going to happen. If they haven't been able to isolate Kader Kohu that way with Christian Kirk, then him too. And how that goes will probably dictate a lot.
Yeah. Anthony Weaver kind of telegraphed in his availability today that he's going to employ three safeties, and, you know, he's a pretty poor poker player because the question was, you know, how has Marcus May come along? And he said, well, Javon Holland and Marcus May are going to play plenty, which, if you read between the lines, does that mean that Jordan Poyer is going to sit on the bench? No, he's going to play a lot, right? And then he said, don't sleep on Elijah Campbell. So I don't know how many safeties this guy is going to play, but it's kind of obvious he's going to employ three. One thing about the Jaguars attack, they like to run out of a lot of a bunch formations. They actually trust, and I looked at this on film last year, and I don't believe this, right? So I saw it in the Tennessee game. Then I said, you know what, let me throw on the Tampa Bay game. You know, I want to see, because I wanted to see some, you know, how some guys defeated blocks, meaning Vita Vea, you know, Simmons. And I was thinking, and Al Shaer for the Titans. And I was thinking to myself, they actually trust Evan Engram blocking in space. And they run to his side in bunch formations. They actually use him and their tackles to double edges, to move them off the spot to run the ball. They run toss, they run outside zone, almost everything out of bunch formations. They have a field side passing game, meaning they throw to the long side of the field in double routes, like double slants, double outs from at 8 and 16 yards. They trust his arm. And if there is such a thing as a field side passing game in the NFL, it's the Jaguars. So I would say, how do you play against a team that likes to throw to the field side. You got to load that side, put bodies in everywhere. I would say this is a pretty big zone heavy game. Am I correct? And I think we could go from there right to the predictions. Your thoughts?
Yes.
On that?
Yes. I think, and especially initially. And I think that, this is one area of I see as kind of an opportunity for surprise for Miami in the secondary, because as I kind of alluded to, yeah, I like Miami's secondary. I like Miami's depth. I like Miami even without Jalen Ramsey here.
Now we got linebackers coming out of our ass because now Anthony Walker's practicing.
Yeah, and so I think that what you're going to see is those guys on the edges tested for their physicality. And I like it. You know, I like Ethan Bonner's physicality. I like Kader Kohu's physicality, especially. I think that could end up a positive for Miami. Here's what you don't want. Here's what you don't want. You don't want Brian Thomas Jr. running, from east to west through the secondary on diagonals or cross or deep crosses, and Trevor Lawrence having the time to go find him. You don't want that. So that's why I do believe that Miami is going to have to find their confidence to get into the blitz game and get in Trevor Lawrence's face and have them fall apart when that happens, hopefully.
All right, it's time for predictions. I'll go first. I think Miami's going to have a pretty good game offensively. I think you're going to see all the new bells and whistles. They're going to run the ball effectively. I think Jonnu Smith is in for a pretty nice game, something like a 5 for 55 and a touchdown type game for you fantasy players. And I think Miami's going to score enough, and they're going to have some anxious moments on offense, because if you look at this Jaguars offense, it's not incompetent. Like, you could see how they could be pretty damn good this year, but they'll fall short and Miami will win. I call it 34-20 with a late touchdown to ice it. So there'll be some anxious moments. There's going to be a time when you're going to look at the scoreboard, you're going to be like, well, man, this thing is 27-20.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little anxious here. But Miami will score a touchdown with 4 minutes to go and hold on, 34-20. I got it, 34-20. Good guys. Your thoughts?
Yeah, don't overthink it. Don't make a prediction based on fear. That's my caution. This is Miami at home. Where was Miami good last year? They're good at home. This is Miami early in the season. When has Miami been good the last couple of years under Mike McDaniel? Early in the season. And the Jags, what did they do? How did they finish last year, Alf?
Falling apart.
They were 1-5 in the last 6 games, I believe. And so, you know, let us not sit here and overthink this one or make predictions based on anxiety and fear. This should be a win for the Dolphins. The Dolphins have the home field advantage in the spread. And overall, I think that this game comes out something like a 26-20. It would be a little bit different, except I do believe, you know, that Jalen Ramsey is going to sit out this game. And I think that that is going to affect the entire complexion of the game, in some ways, both offensively and defensively. So I think that I'm going to go with a 26-20 victory for Miami here. This should be quite a predictable win for Miami.
All right. And that's it. And the next time we talk to you, we will have results in hand and we will talk about that game. And then we'll look forward to a pretty big one next Thursday. But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.